It's Monday.
It's June 1st.
And the word of the day is Democrats. A genius new roasty coinage from Donald Trump used in a sentence-ish. Democrats, because they're dumb. They're dumb. It's D-U-M. I got rid of the B, so you're only changing one letter, right? Egos, the U comes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the only way he's making any you come, I guess.
Okay, I mean, we laugh, but when the Grand Emperor makes them change it to that officially, we're all going to have to switch up the signs, so like,
yeah,
we should get used to it.
Yeah, it's going to be a big pain in the ass. I'm no illusions.
I'm Eli Bosnick.
I'm Heath Enright, and broadcasting delayed from America's Far Center, we are the Skipocrats.
On this week's episode, Florida declares infinity plus one congresspeople.
Brett Michaels has better things to do.
And we learn how a weighted penis bag might affect your weekend.
But first, the rest of the intro music.
Joining me for headlines tonight are my fellow skeptic rats, No Illusions, and Eli Bosnick. Gentlemen, happy World Milk Day. You celebrating hard?
I am indeed. I celebrate all the milks today. Soy, almond, oat.
No. So I don't know, though, if you put off celebrating Milk Day long enough, you get to celebrate Cottage Cheese Day.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
I actually enjoy an oat latte once in a while. It's actually weirdly good.
How could you not love it? It's a better milk.
I don't know. Relax. Okay.
Hit us up, oat milk. Sponsorship.
It's pretty good.
Bing.
Before we get into the headlines, we have a candidate of the day as well. His name is Kenneth Paxton, a Republican who's currently serving out his term as the state attorney general of Texas.
Picking a winning team for once.
Now he wants to be a U.S. senator from Texas. He just won the GOP primary runoff last week, so he's the official nominee. And I wouldn't normally make a Republican the candidate of the day, but he's such a truly atrocious pick
right.
that a Democrat actually has a chance to win a statewide election in Texas for the first time in decades. He's currently being divorced for, you know, being a piece of shit, biblically piece of shit, according to his ex-wife.
Yeah.
And he got impeached for corruption and fraud by the State House of Texas. And for the Republican AG to get impeached by the Republican State House of Texas, the crime had to be egregious, and it
right.
was.
And to be clear, he is still going to win in an absolute landslide, because if sticking a fork in a socket was a state, it would be Texas.
Second part's right.
Which is exactly what everybody said about the two Democratic senators we now have in Georgia, one of whom was reelected in 2022. I've only seen X, so X is all there is. Isn't quite as savvy as the cynics pretend it is.
Yeah, Georgia elected a black guy and a Jewish guy. Things changed.
And might reelect both. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say it's about 50-50 for Paxton, something like that. The other Republican, John Cornyn, would have had better odds. So extremely stupid move by the Texas Republicans.
And of course, of them.
And of course, Donald Trump helped make it happen by endorsing Paxton ahead of the primary. Paxton was already well ahead when Trump weighed in. But the point is, if there's a rake to step on, Trump is already surrounded by cartoon birds and being helped up by Tall Tyler. So that's
sure
fun.
Is.
And now, Democrat James Tallarico could actually win. He's a seminarian who likes to talk about his faith. It's not a great start, but I like where he landed in terms of his positions after having
lying
faith. So check out his policy platform if you're curious. It's approximately the same as Jasmine Crockett, who he beat in the primary by a little over 6 points. And most importantly, Tallarico might be electable in Texas statewide. Again, we can see that because Republicans are panicking. Tallarico's already being attacked by Christian right super PACs for mostly saying that God is non-binary back in 2021, even though that's objectively true according to their book about their fictional character. And they're also pretending that Tallarico's a vegan.
Yeah.
Or as Donald Trump said, a vegan, because Texas voters, they have two extreme fears: gender fluid ghosts and eating vegetables. So that's
sure.
the strategy there. And just a reminder, to control the Senate after the midterms and to do that going forward, We need to get wins in places like Texas and Alaska, Iowa, Maine, North Carolina, Ohio, places like that. James Tallarico has a shot to be one of those wins.
Yeah, and like all shots intended to take down Trump, it's unfortunately going to miss. Like, we're aiming for
Who invited this guy? No, so, okay, here's the thing. No, you're right, damn it. But here's the thing, though, is that even if he wins, one of the results that we've already seen is that they're going to have to spend a shitload more money on this than they otherwise would have, right? That's the true. Cost of them winning this seat has, like, gone up by an order of magnitude at least.
Yeah, they haven't had to spend money in Texas for a long time. Now they do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The lever on the right.
In our lead story tonight, if it weren't for all the kids he raped, it would be really hard to say what the most corrupt thing Donald Trump ever did was. From the crypto bribes to the other bribes, from the sexual assault allegations 28 women have made against him to the one he accidentally made against himself, from the open endorsement of hate groups to the empowerment of bigots, from the collusion with the nation's enemies to the blackmailing of the nation's allies, Trump has been an absolute dictionary of corruption. But settling a lawsuit against himself by giving him and his immediate family perpetual immunity to tax crimes and paying his supporters $1.8 billion for attacking police officers and trying to overturn an election is the kind of corruption we have to invent new fucking words for.
Hey, guys, I can't wait to hear about President AOC's emails, right? Are right? you psyched
yeah.
for an 11-month news cycle about her email server? Oh, I am.
I heard AOC made a premium margarita with triple sec instead of Cointreau that one
Whoa.
Time
when she was
a bartender. So, like, lock her up.
Buckle in. Up. Yes, finally. So, yeah. Look, that's my line, is whatever the triple sex. She had too much sex
whatever the hell
with
that, is
that margarita.
So,
hey, Noah, I'm going to be absent for the rest of the episode imagining AOC having sex with a margarita. So
okay, all right. So I appreciate you explaining that.
Triple sex, apparently.
Yeah. So this story, of course, started when Trump sued the IRS for leaking his tax returns during his first term, even though the IRS didn't do it. It was a contractor. And since there's precedent that the IRS can't be held legally responsible for the acts of their contractors, it should have been the contractor that Trump was suing. But since the contractor doesn't have $1.8 billion or the ability to immunize him from tax crimes, he sued the IRS instead. And to be fair, you know, the IRS has settled lawsuits in the past for the same crime by publicly apologizing and that's it. But hey, that was way back in the distant past of 2024, and given the rate of inflation, maybe a public apology that cost $0 then does cost $1.8 billion in 2026 money.
Exactly,
that's
yeah,
it.
It's possible.
As an inflation rate, yeah. This whole thing is insane, though. We're supposed to see the tax returns of the president. We're supposed to see that. It's not a leak, it's just what we're supposed to see. Also, if people seeing your tax returns would cause $1.8 billion of damage, you owe the IRS way more than $1.8 billion.
So anyway, Trump sued the IRS, but that's a problem all by itself since Trump runs the IRS, which is exactly what the judge who was assigned to the case said. U.S. District Judge Kathleen Williams immediately halted the proceedings to determine if the suit could even go forward since the two sides weren't actually adversarial and the people on the hook for any payout would be the American taxpayer. So apparently, only then realizing that a judge might notice he was suing himself, Trump acted quickly to settle with himself, the result being the sweetheart deal with the tax immunity and the $2 billion insurrection installment plan.
Yeah, they hammered out a deal, but Tall Tyler had to break up a fight between Trump and a real doll of Trump across the table several times.
Almost certainly, yeah.
Don't you look at me like that, Simpel Cindy.
Now, to be clear, despite the
like
repeated
that,
references to this slush fund bullshit as a settlement in the news, it isn't one. As the judge in the case pointed out, the deal Trump struck with himself was never officially submitted to the court for approval, so there is no settlement of record. What he has is just a bullshit deal that was too corrupt for us to bother making up a word for before. But the
end
result,
settlement.
Yeah, right. That's it. That's it. But the end result will be the Justice Department peeling $1.776 billion off an existing pile of money that's set aside to pay off people that reach settlements with the federal government. And then a group consisting of six people, five of whom would be appointed by the attorney general at his sole discretion, would consider claims by people who say they were targeted by Biden's Justice Department for their actions on January 6th. And then they would decide who to give the money to in secret. And oh, by the way, that whole operation would expire about 2 weeks before Trump's legal term of office ends.
And then, as I'm walking away from the White House, my new ballroom, which has been a bomb all along, I throw a cigarette at it and it has to explode. That's the settlement I reached with myself.
I want slow-mo in the thing. Okay, so let's just think about these numbers for a second. About 1,600 people got charged with crimes from January 6th. If the fund is about $1.8 billion, we're saying these people are each worth a little over $1.1 million on average as human beings. And that's assuming they got executed by the DOJ under Biden and were compensating the entire value of their life. It's not even close. And we can check that. You can check the value of people's lives. Okay, you go on the dark web. I'm sure you could find a hitman to kill all those people for way less than that. Especially in a package deal. Brings it up. Like, you bundle it, you're probably getting a deal on that.
Oh, yeah.
You go on Blue Sky, you could probably find someone. You might be able to get somebody who would pay you to do it on Blue Sky. Some of these people have negative value, is what I'm saying.
We'll pay you.
Yeah. Why is nobody doing math about this?
Yeah. Right. So, yeah. But so anyway, so when news of this collusion mint, I don't know, when the news broke, Republicans managed to scrounge together a collective vertebra long enough to say no. Though, to be honest, I think that had a lot more to do with Trump's abysmal polling numbers and his endorsement of Ken Paxton than the level of audacity of his corruption. Lawmakers, including Republicans, grilled Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent about it the following day and made their displeasure clear. Though, given that it was entirely being done within the executive branch under the oversight of the judiciary, there wasn't a hell of a lot they could do to block it.
Yeah, it's like when your cat's about to knock something over across the room, but you're too far away to stop them. Yeah. But with the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And when cats do that thing where they're like pushing it to the edge, that's evolutionarily, they're checking if it's dead. And it turns out it is in this case. With
yes,
the Constitution.
No, yeah. It's been dead for a bit, yeah.
Noah's cat thinks a lot of glasses are dead.
Yeah, huh? Now, luckily, it does look like the judicial branch is still doing its job in this instance. A wide-ranging group of plaintiffs sued to block the formation of the fund, and that led to a different district judge issuing an order temporarily blocking the administration from any action, quote, pursuant to the creation or operation of the fund, which includes the transferring of money, the consideration of any claims submitted, and the dispersing of any funds, end quote. But that's not the only legal challenge this cash grab faces. The original judge isn't done with this shit either, because it turns out that instigating a bullshit lawsuit so that you can make a sweetheart settlement with yourself is illegal.
Yeah. And you'd hope. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I know Trump gets to commit all the crimes he wants, but when he commits them on judges, they can at least make him squirm about it a little bit. So Williams issued an order Friday afternoon giving Trump and his sons, who are also party to the lawsuit, until June 12th to formally respond to accusations that they defrauded the court. And she says in the order, quote, a court is empowered to investigate serious misconduct. If a party files a lawsuit for an improper purpose, the court may impose an appropriate sanction on the responsible party, end quote.
Yeah, Clarence Thomas reads that and he's like, I mean, not for long it does.
Yeah,
but sure, right now.
That's for a minute anyway, yeah. Now, look, I don't hold out any real hope that Trump is going to face a consequence, but the piece of shit lawyer's doing his bidding just might. And every time that happens, the level of lawyer that he's able to scrounge up notches down a little bit. And that's, you know, that matters not because it's more likely that anything bad will happen to him because he just ignores all the rulings that he likes. But it is great for fucking comedy at the very least.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Melania and her JD from fucking Prager University doing the defense at Nuremberg 2 or whatever.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But what will you wear to this trial? Well, to answer that, we're going to pause for a word from this week's first sponsor, Quince.
Dude, pull.
I feel like, if anything, pulling's going to make it worse.
Yeah, you might be right. Yeah.
Hey, guys. Wow, what happened to Eli?
It's the Quince ad, Noah. They told me that summer I was supposed to change the way I dress, and so
No, again, they meant, like, nicer shorts.
Well, they should have said that because I tried from the top.
Wait. I'm sorry. Quince has summer wear?
They sure do. They focus on high-quality essentials that feel and look amazing, like breathable linen and soft organic cotton. Well-made basics, but without the luxury markup. It's that rare balance where everything feels elevated, but still effortless.
Well, that sounds great.
It is. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 8% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middlemen, so you're paying for quality, not brand markup.
But have you actually tried it?
I sure have. I got a new pair of shorts from Quince, and I got so many compliments, I bought two more. That's why I, Heath Enright, personally endorse Quince.
I can't move my arms!
All right, Heath, I'm sold. Where do I sign up?
Elevate your summer wardrobe. Go to quince.com/skeptocrat for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/skeptocrat for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/skeptocrat.
All right, Heath. Thanks. So should I get the butter again?
Yeah, probably.
Get the big tub.
Well, yeah, I was gonna.
And we're back. Next up in headlines in Mapmaker, make me a map news.
Fantastic.
The Supreme Court recently ruled that racism is done. We did it. Sounds like good news. Big if true.
Yeah.
But that was the reasoning behind the ruling in Louisiana v. Calais that effectively gutted the Voting Rights Act of 1965 and made it legal to do racist gerrymandering if you call it Republican gerrymandering.
Oh.
Yeah, it's tricky. And it's illegal to do anti-racist ungerrymandering because identifying black voters being disenfranchised, that has a race word in it. And that
the race is right
racist
there
to think about it. Apparently racism is both done and also not done in the quantum brain state of Sam Alito and the conservative supermajority. And now we're in a ridiculous gerrymandering arms race with red states redrawing their maps like a fucking jigsaw puzzle made of Cthulhu eating Swiss cheese in order to gain seats in the U.S. House ahead of the midterms.
Which is adorable, right? It's like learning that Republicans are secretly covering us in butter in the hopes that werewolves will eat us.
Right, yeah. I mean, they're ahead like 10 seats in the gerrymanderthon or whatever. They're going to lose Congress by 40 fucking seats, right? Like, congratulations for narrowing that down, though.
Yeah. And a big thanks to Anne for sending us a link to skeptocratnews@gmail.com. Anne gets none of your business. Anne gets something. Also, a big thanks to everyone who didn't vote for Hillary Clinton and Kamala Harris in the general elections for making the current Supreme Court possible. Those people get to go fuck themselves forever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what we're saying is that all the prizes today are fuck-based.
Yeah, it's a dangerous precedent to set, what with Eli signed up to Hemet Mehta's newsletter, but yes, in this
right? Write me back.
So, the gerrymander-tacular started in Texas before the SCOTUS ruling even happened in July of last year. Trump could already see that his abject failure was likely to give away the U.S. House to Democrats in the midterms. So he called Texas and told him to steal 5 seats by cheating with a new map instead of waiting for the next census, like you're supposed to do. They actually already did that type of cheating mid-decade once before in this decade, but he wanted more cheating again. So
better cheating.
California was forced to retaliate in kind, and they approved a temporary new map to counteract the cheating. Then a lawsuit about Louisiana's map led to the Calais ruling. And since then, we've seen more cheating in places like Tennessee, along with failed attempts, sadly, by Democrats in places like Virginia to fight back. Well, the latest attack on the very concept of democracy is coming out of Florida. Not surprisingly, where a judge is letting Governor Ron DeSantis proceed with his new cheating map that likely gives 4 extra seats to Republicans. Florida does have a law that very directly bans partisan gerrymandering, but also, no.
Yeah.
No, they don't, was the ruling. Well,
guys, don't you see where this is leading? Eventually, everyone is their own district and their own congressman, and we get to start from the libertarian utopia we've been promised. This is a win for everybody.
I got mauled by a bear.
Work great for Athens. If only there were some system that could determine fair congressional districts with mathematical perfection, then would be easy to implement nationwide, that Anthony Kennedy didn't shit all over on his way out the door. Fuck you forever, you piece of shit.
I hope he's crying right now.
Yeah.
And all the other times.
He's not.
So the judge in Florida, Joshua Hawks, he went even further and he ruled that the previous map in Florida, the not gerrymandered one, is actually illegal because it had a majority black district.
Yeah.
And racism is done, so that's illegal now. So technically, he said, Florida can't even go back to their non-cheating map. They had to make a new map with less representation for all those overprivileged black people in Florida now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Josh Hawks is like, okay, hear me out. If we take away black people's right to vote again, this isn't even an issue in the first place. There's never... Right.
No, I believe the more mature version is known as James Crow.
Jimothy Crow, if you will.
Jameson Quinselberry Crow. One other thing, and this is really the whole purpose of covering the story. Like, gerrymandering is bad, but this is far more important. Ron DeSantis has no idea where hands go.
Yes.
Like, not
geometrically, geographically near his body. There's a photo of DeSantis at a press conference about the new map, and he's very clear. Yeah, he looks like Noah's doing in the video, if you're watching the video. Yeah. He's very clearly saying to himself while he's doing that, like, human hands like this? I think it's human hands like that. I'm nailing it. I'm nailing human hands like this.
He looks like when someone poses a dog for a calendar.
Or when a bear has to walk on its back legs for a little while because it's injured. He's like, between this and his boots and shit, he's like, if AI Slop was a guy.
Yes, yes. Someone needs to stand up and be like, you can tell from the fingers. You can tell.
Actually, the fingers are really good, but the placement is crazy, yeah. So, bottom line, the current situation, it's just a ridiculous farce. We need a federal law that bans partisan gerrymandering nationwide. Really simple. That's not going to happen unless Democrats win control of the government within the cheater system and then get rid of the cheating. Or, this is just me thinking big, thinking outside of the box.
Dream, baby.
Here we go. If we ever take over, we draw a national map for the House with reasonable borders and also one speckle-shaped district called everyone who ever voted for Donald Trump ever.
Mm.
I think that would work. Or even better, we fire everyone at ICE, we hire new people, and we use their budget that's, I think, bigger than the entire U.S. Marine Corps, and we deport everyone who ever voted for Donald Trump. And then we can skip the speckle district thing.
There you go.
We don't have to do that. I'm good with any creative ideas about anti-fascist fascism. I like anti-fafa. That's good. But seriously, vote correctly. That one's real.
Yeah. And in dope opera news.
Oh, well done, sir.
I stole it from Vanity Fair, but I appreciate your appreciation. Yeah. Podcast listener, I know it seems like there's no trouble in paradise here at Puzzle and a Thunderstorm LLC. Like, we're just three bros having a good time making jokes, but we have our conflicts. Noah has turned down several of my brilliant billboard ideas. Heath's headphones have one ear, and it bothers me.
It's great.
But a conflict that has threatened to tear our company apart at the seams for years has been Peter Thiel's best idea ever. The enhanced game.
It is his best idea ever.
Yes.
Well, sure.
Heath and I are fans, as we should be. Love Noah, not so much.
Okay, think for a second about how weird it is for me to be the one holding the line on the drug-free attitude.
Exactly.
That's confusing.
Narc. Well, those games finally happened this week, and they were a massive, disappointing, white supremacist failure, just like Heath and I were hoping.
Really?
It's like Hitler tried to do the Reichstag fire and just like blew up his face with Acme dynamite when he went to check it, and then it was like, beep, beep. Jewish emu gets the gold medal credits. Yeah. That's it.
100%. Now, if you're unfamiliar with this brilliant concept, the enhanced games are simple. What if there were an Olympics where the athletes could do all the steroids and performance-enhancing drugs they wanted? What new heights might man soar towards if he were unfettered by fear of the unknown and other things that a Bioshock villain might say?
Yeah. So a bunch of the events were pretty much the same.
Spoiler.
So the real test was how much better they could do with the time they saved not hiding the steroid usage.
Exactly.
Right? Like they had more time to train.
Well, this week we did not find out about the miracle of steroids. One record was broken by a guy who had set that record earlier in the year himself, who also had just had his time beaten by a regular non-steroid using athlete. So it wasn't exactly the Harrison Bergeron mask off situation we were hoping for. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, it turns out that most of the world's best athletes don't want to take experimental horse drugs so Peter Thiel can settle a bar bet, you know?
Yeah, with himself. Yeah. So obviously, disappointing results like that were not great for the games. The stock price for the games dropped by 40% following their lackluster performance.
This is publicly traded?
It is. Yes.
I'd like to short it more.
Yeah. Yep. I can't believe we didn't short it. It's crazy. Peter Thiel is moving to Argentina.
Oh, is
probably
he?
Probably for other guy evil stuff, but it was unrelated.
Peter, no, you're John Galt. Don't come back. We need John Galt.
Not a coincidence that Argentina has 32 volcanoes, I believe.
Really a lot of choices, the lair. So the question that the people have is, what happened? Was it that great athletes don't want to besmirch their legacy by turning themselves into rich guy science experiments? Are Olympians already roiding at such a level that a lack of rules made no difference? Is it both?
Or could it be that almost nobody gives a shit?
Or all three.
Unless you're shorting the stock.
Yeah.
I care.
Well, according to the game's founders, the problem was there wasn't enough money on the line.
I was right. Yeah.
The founders, I shit you not, these are their real names, Maximilian Martin and Christian Angermeyer.
Come on. Nazi McNazerson.
Nazi Hitler and Rage Firebrand murder.
Eubodie McBoatface is in charge.
Yeah. They released a joint statement saying, quote, "Our inaugural sprinting events were not to the standard we aspire to. And we know why. Top sprinters are among the highest paid athletes. The opportunity cost of joining Enhanced has been higher for them than athletes in other sports. We need to change the equation. The prize for breaking Usain Bolt's men's 100 meter world record at the 2027 Enhanced Games will be increased to $10 million. Our DMs are open." End quote.
Yeah, guys, we got to bump it to 10 million. But also, I feel like people are like shy about our DMs, and I think that's holding us back. Let's mention the DMs too.
Make sure all the great calls for top flight athletes include a DM me though, bro.
Yeah, hit me up. Yeah. Comment ready to cheat at the Olympics below, and then many chat will send you a DM. One last thing about this little story. My favorite event of the Enhanced Games is that Hunter Armstrong, who participated but raced clean since he wants to be in the Olympics in 2028, in spite of that, he won the 50-meter backstroke.
Fantastic.
And podcast listener, I know times are tough, but if the expressions on the faces of the roided up idiots who sacrificed their lifespan and their integrity only to be beaten by a normal guy who's just faster than them, if that image doesn't get you through these dark times, I don't know that anything will.
I love it. Just some guy was like, I'm better than all of you at swimming.
Oh, but I'm a faster swimmer.
I'm just better.
And you can do whatever you want.
Oh, yeah, muscles? Cool. I'm still...
You fucking fill Eli up with Bane juice. I'll swim him so fast. So much faster.
But yeah, no, you guys should definitely DM them about next year. That's cool.
No, hit him up on Insta.
Yeah. Hashtag the juice is loose. Make sure you use
that. I did DM Christian Angermeyer and tell him that I was willing to compete.
Awesome.
So
yeah, let us know how that goes.
Let you know. I should roid up. Look, who cares about my fucking body? I should absolutely just... And for the next year...
Yeah. Eli just looks like Carrot Top.
Yes. Oh, that would be fucking funny.
I will support that however you need me.
Financially?
Yes.
You can buy him some roids.
Nice. Yeah. Sure.
And next up in headlines in Money Cash Woes News. The story of Cash Patel just keeps getting more stupid and tragic. And that is impressive considering where he started. He started as a podcaster who drinks too much and he ramped up the tragic from there. Well, now he's the FBI director, at least for a bit longer. And everything he does is another amazing segment in the upcoming Citation Needed episode. Here's a few highlights to get everyone caught up, just in case you haven't been following along on the story of Cash. He held up an active manhunt for hours when he wouldn't leave the FBI jet without a medium FBI raid jacket with all the sweet patches.
Yep. They literally had to talk him out of his car seat. Yes.
He wasted money. Well, he wasted money everywhere, including flying to events like off-brand WWE and wherever the fuck Pennsylvania, where his country sensation girlfriend was singing the national anthem. He also assigned her a personal security detail at a bunch of her events. And those professional FBI people were used to give her stupid drunk friends rides home.
Jesus.
Hey, Heath, whatever keeps him from protecting the rest of the administration, man, let's get Brittany home. Okay?
All right, fair.
She's wearing heels. For other people, too. Yeah, good for society. He also got exposed for drinking so much at places like the Poodle Room in Las Vegas that his detail had to call for breaching equipment on multiple occasions, thinking they might need to break into his hotel room like a SWAT team.
Happens to the best of us, right?
And, of course, he flew the private jet to a place called, literally, the Boondoggle Ranch.
Well, yes, but in his defense, Heath, the rooms at the Wasteful Government Spending Resort were booked, so you gotta go somewhere.
And that brings us to the latest round of failure. We learned that Cash Patel is carrying around a stash of personally branded bourbon, and it's very stupid, the details of that, and his very sad apparel site that he has contains very obvious malware that could steal your information.
Or worse, it could send you merch for Cash Patel.
Yeah. Cash Patel branded apparel is malware. Yes.
That's the definition.
It is. So I'll start with the bourbon. And this one came from Sarah Fitzpatrick, writing for The Atlantic. We talked about her original expose about Cash last month, which led to an absurd defamation lawsuit from Cash Patel for $250 million. In addition to the excessive drinking and the SWAT team getting ready to smash through his hotel window, Fitzpatrick also reported on Cash thinking he was locked out of the FBI computer system and panicking because he thought that meant he was fired. Turned out he just forgot his password. And as a joke, when we were talking about that, as a joke, I said his password was cashmoney1234, but with a dollar sign instead of the S, and that was the confusion. Well, 2 days after Cash filed the lawsuit, Sarah Fitzpatrick released another story about him, because she is amazing, and spite is the purest of human emotions.
Isn't
it? She learned from her sources in the department. Because they called her. They saw what happened with the lawsuit. They were like, hey, I got more stuff. She learned from them that Cash travels with a stash of Woodford Reserve bourbon engraved with FBI Director Cash Patel, literally with the dollar sign.
Jesus fucking Christ.
And yes, podcast listener, the nanosecond I learned that that existed, I did try to buy a bottle for Heath. I was not successful.
So, following that revelation, Woodford Reserve released a statement saying, fuck that guy. I hope we kill him with liver cancer. That statement came from their spokesman, H.B. Enright, just now. That was the statement.
Poor Woodford Reserve.
And the FBI, this is real. This one's real. The FBI responded to the story by releasing a statement that said, the bourbon is actually part of a long-standing tradition that was around before cash. They're claiming it's totally normal for the FBI director to give away official gifts like that. So Fitzpatrick was like, oh, okay. And she reached out to the FBI for a photo of liquor bottles with the name of any other past director. They did not have any available.
Oh, really?
None of those photos available.
You can't send me a photo of James Komiak? No? You don't have any J. Edgar Boozer lying around that I can have a quick pick of? No?
Seriously, were these FBI directors friends with all the hot girls you dated before we met you, Cash? Is that...
All right, well, that brings us to the malware. Cash has what he likes to call an apparel company. It's called Based Apparel. It's actually just shitty merch with his name on it. They sell t-shirts, orange camo hoodies, trucker hats, of course, and a Punisher scarf that says Fight with Cash on it. They also have malware. A site visitor documented what she found last week. A page popped up that was pretending to be a CAPTCHA test to prove you're human, but it was actually a scam page that directed specifically Mac users to open a terminal, already insane, copy some text, and paste the text into their terminal and run it.
Yeah,
so,
normal.
Okay, you're an idiot if you did any of this, but that's not really the point. The text that you would copy, it looks like it says, I'm not a robot, and like a basic command after that. But hidden below that was more text that would run a hacker script that would steal personal information. And it would also maybe steal data from any crypto wallets that you might have in storage on that device and send it back to the hackers, whoever they might be.
Yeah. You guys ever think about the fact that perhaps the single best way to punish hackers would be to give them access to my financial information? Like, really?
Right. Yeah, it's just some scam center in Volgograd going like, how the fuck are we in debt? What happened?
What did he think he was buying on Ethereum? On the
I know it has contracts on Ethereum. You can have debt in there? Fuck.
What bounce? What does he think he's going to bounce?
And just... one other moment from Cash's embarrassment of an existence. The Associated Press recently obtained government emails that show some details about Cash's visit to Hawaii last summer. According to the news release from the Bureau at the time, Cash was touring the FBI's Honolulu branch on official business. They did not mention that he went to the site of the Pearl Harbor attack, and somehow he got the Navy to let him go snorkeling there. That is not normal. Snorkeling and diving at that site is prohibited.
No, it's not
for occasional scientific purposes. And it's prohibited because it's a fucking memorial site for over 900 sailors and Marines who died in the Pearl Harbor attack. Snorkeling at Pearl, it's so crazy. It's like riding go-karts at Auschwitz when you go there on your tour.
Right.
Yeah. It's nuts.
Right.
And what that means is Cash was walking around their fucking museum tour for like 8 minutes before he was like, hey, I'm sorry to interrupt. This is super sad. But what are the chances there's like a wetsuit rental place around here? Because these blue waves are calling to me. And I don't know if they're calling to you, but like...
Hans, do you have any, I don't know, bumper cars? We could go bumper cars if you don't have go-karts. That'd be cool.
Oh, could we paintball at my line?
Okay, and quick thing before we wrap up the story, just a reminder to Cash. Bring it in, buddy. Last month, I challenged you to a hockey fight inside a frozen octagon
on the
White House lawn, and I haven't heard anything back from you. I know you're busy at the poodle room and the fucking boondoggle, but it's getting embarrassing. And I guess while I give Cash a bit more time to nurse his hangover and make up an excuse, we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor, Mint Mobile. And then you just use your phone.
Right. And that's when they take my soul.
Dude, no. Nobody takes your soul.
Hey guys, what you doing?
I was just telling Eli about my new cell phone plan from Mint Mobile.
Yeah, and I'm wondering what the soul-losing catch is.
What's Mint Mobile?
When people hear that Mint Mobile plans are only $15 a month, lots of people wonder, what's the catch? Well, I can tell you from firsthand experience, There isn't one. No gimmicks and no gotchas. Just unlimited talk, text, and data, and fast, reliable coverage on the nation's largest 5G network.
Oh, what nation? Maybe it's one of those tiny ones that has like one cell phone.
It's America.
Oh. I mean, that sounds great, Heath, but have you actually tried it?
I sure have. I switched to Mint Mobile when they first became a sponsor. Now I get the same great service for a fraction of the price. That's why I, Heath Enright, personally endorse Mint.
And I don't have to sell my soul.
Nope.
Damn. Okay, I'm going to go summon the devil real quick. Tell him deal's off.
Yep, there it is.
You got to start reading the copy, man.
No.
And we're back. Next up in headlines in Fair to Midland news. Trump can't even manage a goddamn fair without it crumbling in his tiny little discolored, swollen hands. Like, I'm not saying I could put on a fair, right? But there are over 3,000 county and state fairs in this country every fucking year. And the Waycross Exchange Club, in association with the Okefenokee Fair Association, have way fewer resources than the federal government. And they still manage to put a Ferris wheel, a Tilt-A-Whirl, and half a dozen sugar booths together every year, but not Trump.
Nice.
His silly little fair barely even made it to the announcement phase before it started to fall apart.
And before you ask Donald, no, you cannot borrow Tim. He's on the DC show right now. He's
busy.
Working hard. Yeah.
You can borrow me. I'll definitely do a good job.
Yeah. So this whole disaster started when Trump decided that the bipartisan commission created by Congress to organize festivities related to the nation's semi-quincentennial was too damn bipartisan, so he created his own. Now, this group he dubbed Freedom 250, and it was given four times the budget of the bipartisan America 250, and it's mostly squandered that budget with taxpayer-funded prayer rallies and cage fights, but there was enough left over to have a fair. So they decided to try their hands at that with a 16-day event called Freedom 250 Presents the Great American State Fair.
Okay, funniest thing about Trump is that he actually feels about poor people the way I pretend to feel about poor people.
Right.
Like, fuck, I don't know, what are these toothless rubes like? Funnel cake? We'll throw them a big funnel cake party.
Okay, but we do like funnel cake. That's actually true. So, like, I don't like when he's right, but he's right about that one.
So, on Wednesday of last week, Freedom 250 sent out a press release announcing their, quote, first round of star-studded entertainment, end quote. That would be the first of one, by the way. And it was the kind of mediocre B-list has-beens that you generally associate with state fairs, like Martina McBride, CNC Music Factory, and Bret Michaels. Hmm. So it was already a pretty unimpressive lineup.
Well, except for CNC.
Okay, except for CNC.
Come on, you hear everybody dance now, you can't not be like, bam, 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 bam,
that's
bam. You can't, it's impossible.
Also had Morris Day at the time. You know, there's some good stuff there. But that was before any of those artists knew what they'd signed up for. They were all told that they were being booked for a bipartisan celebration of America's 250th birthday. When they found out that they were actually booked for Trump's blackjack and hookers version of that celebration, they started dropping like women in Trump's cabinet.
I'm sorry, but I can't lend the president the credibility that I, Bret Michaels, possess.
Yes, exactly.
So now I have to do Rock of Love 8.
Yes. So now the first to announce their cancellation was country star Martina McBride, who said she was misled into believing that she'd be performing at a nonpartisan event. And in her defense, who the fuck would immediately think that a state fair might be partisan? Young MC followed shortly behind her, apologizing to his fans and explaining that performers were not informed that the event was Trump-backed. That same message was echoed by Morris Day and The Time, as well as the Commodores. And in a moment almost too meta to be real, we're not actually sure if Milli Vanilli is going to be there because there are contrary announcements and we can't tell who actually speaks for them.
Okay, to be fair, if the life of my child depended on me picking Milli Vanilli out of a lineup, I would tell my child I loved him very much.
I don't just ask everyone in the lineup to sing a Milli Vanilli song, and the one who can't do it, that's your fucking guy. You got it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, I think one of them is dead, right?
Yeah, so, I think so.
So at best, it's just going to be like Milli or Vanilli.
Well, he can still give the same performance.
The same relevance. Yeah, sure.
But not every superstar backed out on him. Attendees can still count on the dulcet tones of one Robert Matthew Van Winkle, a.k.a. Ooh. Vanilla Ice. According to Page Six, quote, despite backlash from fans, Vanilla Ice is standing by the event, end quote. A statement shocking only for the implication that Vanilla Ice has fans. But yeah, the rapper told the Associated Press that he was, quote, proud to help celebrate America's 250th anniversary, end quote. But I think we can all safely dismiss any statement that relies on the notion that Vanilla Ice has pride.
Yeah, it's up to his fans to put him under pressure to do the right thing.
Okay. Maybe we get Vanilla Ice as like a duo.
Oh, there you go. Ooh,
that'd be cool.
Yeah. Now, for his part,
they'll have to collaborate and listen to each
other. Stop. Now, for his part, Trump is apparently furious that he can't even sign acts whose other venues this summer include the Agua Caliente Resort Casino and Spa and the Sasktel Center in Saskatoon. But he knows of an even better act that he's pretty sure he can book. Himself. He
said in a tweet.
Yeah, right. Get excited.
I'll do it.
He said in a tweet over the weekend that he was, quote, thinking about bringing the number one attraction anywhere in the world, the man who gets much larger audiences than Elvis in his prime, and he does so without a guitar, the man who loves
Barack
our country
Obama?
More than anyone else, the man who some say is the greatest president in history, the GOAT. Yeah, maybe it is. Nope, Donald J. Trump. To take the place of these highly paid third-rate artists and give a major speech rallying the country forward like I have done ever since being president, end quote.
I mean, look, that's insane, but he's not wrong that anybody who shows up to a state fair to see Milli Vanilli does also want to see Donald Trump speak. That Venn diagram's a circle.
Or at least try to lip sync to his like crazy sentence fragments. That would be fun to watch Trump try to do. Lip sync himself.
So as disappointed as I am that he's not instead promising to do Martina McBride's set, the fact that he's this far along the way towards reducing his silly little fair to just one of his ego-stroking political rallies is fucking hilarious. I'm giving it, like, I'm saying 1 in 6 odds that by the time we reach the scheduled date, it'll be whittled down to just a brunch.
And in the nix of time news, as someone who spent the last decade rooting for the Democratic Party, I sympathize with fans of the New York Knicks. It is the feeling time and time again that surely the past's wrongs will be corrected, that justice will be served, that you in turn will get to feel like a winner. Well, we're going to get slammed in the midterms and Donald Trump is going to be president for a third time. But this week, Knicks fans have a chance to reverse the curse as they head to the finals for the first time in 27 years. And like America itself, Donald Trump is going to maybe ruin it.
Okay, wait, I'm sorry. So Eli's going all sports stories this week?
That's right, baby!
All right. I bet this one's going to be short.
Rude. Unfair. Unkind.
Well, yeah, because I already saw how long it was.
Haberdashianist.
Yeah. Haberdashianist, huh?
Name a player on the New York Knicks right now.
No.
But no with a K, though.
Yes.
Several of them live, like, really close in the nice town that's kind of close to you.
He's pretty close to me, yeah. Patrick Ewing?
Wow. That's actually a former New York Knick. I'm going to give you credit. That's so much more than I thought you'd be able to do.
Yeah, the jock of the show strikes again. All right, so pretty much as soon as it was announced that the Knicks were going to be in the finals, Donald Trump announced that he might be in attendance. And not only would that up security at the event and reduce the number of seats available, but many pointed out that it might be a little distracting to have Hitler present at a basketball game.
Sure.
So fans were being encouraged to ignore him.
Okay. Here's what I want to happen. This is an amazing opportunity. Both teams just take a knee at center court and refuse to play until Trump leaves.
Ooh,
there you go. San Antonio Spurs, New York Knicks. Listen up.
You got
do
this,
it.
Guys. So best of luck to the Knicks. Here's hoping your hopes aren't as dashed as ours continue to be. And if you do win, please don't do hate crimes about it, okay? You're not Rangers fans. Keep it together, okay?
Don't you know what happened when Rangers fans win?
Because they do hate crimes.
It was back in 94. 94, I was 13. Yep, I only did a little bit of the hate crime. It's less than Eli was saying.
Sports Jack.
It was a medium amount of that.
Sports
okay.
Nick. Eli Sportsnick. That's my new
and
character.
And finally tonight.
Hey.
In crooks-maxing news, we're going to close it out with a quick update on the failure of another terrible person. Because that's what we have now. Braden Peters, a.k.a. Clavicular, the self-proclaimed alpha mog of the looks-maxing community. He got mogged so hard last week. It's fantastic. Getting mogged, by the way, is their stupid term for getting dominated by somebody with better looks, or you win if you mog somebody. It's ridiculous. Clavicular appeared in court last week after being charged with several crimes related to his video in which he takes a boat into a swamp in the Florida Everglades and empties his gun into a dead alligator.
Yeah, it turns out in Florida, there's just a police code for that specific infraction.
Actually,
that's a 612.
Yeah.
I was going to guess a lower number, yeah. So he got sentenced to 20 hours of community service and a firearm safety course. But the best part was the online reaction after the hearing. The judge was a very handsome man, and the internet immediately lit up with posts about Clavicular getting justice mogged super hard, and they'd show side-by-side headshots of Clavicular and this beautiful judge. I'm pretty sure this was a real judge, but I like to believe that some genius in the court system hired a beautiful male model to play the judge that one day.
Yeah. Podcast listener, Heath has included this picture in our notes. And while I'm not a huge fan of Clavicular, I will say the gay porn here just writes itself.
Oh,
my
yes,
friend.
Absolutely.
This is
hits him in the jaw with his gavel.
Please be seated. Oh. Please okay. be seated rivalry.
Uh-huh. Just in case anybody doesn't follow looks maxing and Clavicular, he claims to have hit himself in the face with a hammer to reshape his jawline to get it better.
That's the best jawline he could do with a hammer? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's fine.
The judge is like, hey, man,
I got
a better thing. This gavel's going to really give you that mewed up shape you're looking for, piece of shit. So Clavicular also spent some time last week talking about penis maxing.
Huh.
Yeah, apparently he ties a weighted bag to the base of the penis and that stretches it out. During a podcast appearance, he told Logan Paul that he does this while driving.
Sounds safe.
Oh, I'm praying for an exit.
I bet you take curves at a safe speed when you got one of those on.
You know that thing where you stop short and your tummy hurts?
Yeah,
that's
right.
What happens to his dong.
But if you really want to like max it, you got to do donuts and you get the
right. Honestly, yeah, that's the point.
So he got asked by Logan Paul how important it is for a sexual partner to have an orgasm. Clavicular said, exact words, not important. Not going to really have much ROI. That's return on investment.
Yeah, I'm just stretching my dong because I'm in psychosis, Logan Paul. I don't really. Let's crack open these Pokemon cards. What do you say?
Yeah, so that's what's happening with the men of that generation and probably some other generations too. Terrifying. On that note, we're going to close it out. Thanks to No Illusions. Thanks to Eli Bosnick.
Sir, did you just end with the kids these days on us?
Yeah, why did you blame Gen Z
men's
for Clavicular?
These days. Men's these days. Thanks to Kenneth Paxton as well.
Okay.
I think he's going to help us out maybe. And thanks to all the listeners who liked us and followed us on all the various internets. Please keep doing that. Please keep listening and please keep telling your friends.
And sorry for putting you on a list with Ken Paxton.
And if you find the naive stupidity of our giving away free show business model to be oddly charming, you can send us gifts of money at patreon.com/skeptocrat. Just like all the generous new donors, you will be complimented next time around. And whether or not you're feeling financially benevolent like those fine people, if you enjoyed our brand of whimsy and you'd like to hear more dick jokes free of charge, check out our brother and sister shows, The Scathing Atheist, God Awful Movies, D&D-, and Citation Needed, available in all the podcast places. We just have one last thing. Let's compliment that penis. Special thanks to Ryan Slotnick of Evil Giraffes on Mars. He's the creator of the virtuosic musical stylings you heard today, which were used with permission. You should definitely check him out using the links we'll provide or by Googling the only band called Evil Giraffes on Mars. Until next time, catchphrase sign off. Did you guys see that Donald Trump is trying to get himself onto the $250 bill now?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Treasury's vying for this right now. And I saw a mock-up of what it would look like. It's a drawing. And whoever drew it made Donald Trump look more evil. It's like the most, it's evil for Donald Trump. And
yeah, the one like they've got glaring. On the passport one is somehow more evil too. I noticed that, yeah.
Unfucking believable.
So I had a good one. I posted this on Facebook the other day, but Lucinda came up with the perfect ending, right? She says, the Congress passes some bullshit or the courts invalidate the amendment or whatever and allow Trump to serve a third term, right? They say a president can serve a third term. And so just as he announces his candidacy, so does Obama. The two of them on a debate stage together. Him, please proceed governoring Donald fucking Trump. Donald Trump would walk off the stage when he said
100%. He absolutely does a like, it's broken.
He would try to walk off stage, but then he would definitely step on one of the many rakes that Obama yes, had right in front of him.
Right.
Yeah. Oh. Fuck, that would be great. Somebody like some lawyer in his administration heard this and was like, oh, then, you know, Obama might be against me. And they're claiming it's some sort of like he's a Grover Cleveland who did, right. you know, yeah, non-consecutive terms. Yeah, so there's some sort of technicality that makes it different. So stupid.
Yeah.
He is a Grover Cleveland.
In that they're both 6'3" and 223 pounds or whatever and 5% body
fat. And smell
fat.
Like a lake that's on fire. Yeah.
Yeah.
The preceding podcast was a production of Puzzle and Thunderstorm LLC. Copyright 2026. All rights reserved.